Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What does God expect from ordinary folks? He's speaking here to the great multitude. He's speaking to ordinary folks. He's speaking to all types of different people. I have little doubt that in that crowd there were some folks who were rich. I have little doubt that in that crowd there were some slaves. Slavery was certainly prevalent in that day. I have little doubt that there were male and female, little and big, young and old. I'm sure there were in that crowd all types of people. There were some preachers in that crowd. There were some Pharisees in that crowd. We would say there's some folk that believed right. There's some people that believed wrong, but it doesn't change what God says. I dealt this morning with the fact that God expects us all to have a supernatural conversion. It starts with that. The only way we can have any connection, communication with the Lord, the only way we can really get help with Him, the only way He'll hear us, the only way we can be a part of the family, the only way we can surely get to heaven is by having that supernatural conversion. We start there. But it doesn't end there. Notice it says in verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Learn of me. He says you need to be yoked up with me. That yoke is something that we think of as something that is a burden. We think of labor. It is a device of labor. And when we think about yokes, when we think about that wooden device that hooks oxen or cattle or mules or whatever together, we think of something laborious. We think of something heavy. And that's exactly what he's dealing with here. That's exactly what he says. He says, you who have the yoke of the Pharisees, you who have the yoke of the law, you are laden. You are heavy burdened. You do have a load. In fact, they've added more on the law than what God said. And you're trying to trudge through life doing what's right all the time in your own strength. And you have put a heavy yoke on your own neck, your own life, heavy requirements and responsibilities that no man can bear. So he says, take my yoke. And he said to yoke up with him. It literally means to join with him. Now, I promise you, if you're yoked with him, you're not doing the work. He is. I've read, of course, as I've studied for this message again, and I read about how a man saw a farmer plowing with one large ox, and beside that large ox was a little bitty small animal that he was training to labor and to work. And the farmer said, the small one's doing no labor at all. He is simply being led by the larger animal. And friend, that's a picture of anything. It's a picture of us being yoked to him. It is not us. By the way, I say it clearly. We're not even helping him. He doesn't need our help. If anything, we're hindering him. And he says this, yoke up with me, walk with me. Let me lead you. Let me carry the burden. Let me do the work. Let the labor be my responsibility. From that, could I say this? Not only does God expect ordinary people to have a supernatural conversion, but God expects ordinary people, ordinary folks, to have a sweet communion. He says, join up with me. Get real close to me. Let's walk through this world together. I want to say this evening, you're not alone. I am so glad this evening that I can testify and say, Since I've been saved, I haven't spent 1 minute by myself. I haven't spent any time alone. Now, sometimes being alone sounds pretty good, but I promise you one thing, when you need some help, you need someone there that can help you. When you're burdened, you need someone there to lift the load. And I'm glad He is that person. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Could I say we're hooked up with Him? We're in the harness with Him. This thing of communication, this thing of communion with Him is more than just me asking and receiving. Now, that's a part of it. I'll touch on that in a minute. But there's a whole lot more to this thing, at least it ought to be, than us just praying for what we want to and getting what we desire and Him answering our requests. And that's all. If that's your communication with Him, number one, you are hindering yourself and you're hurting Him. If that's all you do, if you never talk to Him unless you ask for something, if you never look toward heaven unless you're going through a problem and need help, there's a need in your life to realize what I'm talking about tonight. He says to us all, I'm talking to you again. I'm not talking to your neighbor. I'm not talking to your friend. I'm not talking to your wife or your husband. I'm talking to you again. Ordinary folks, not the preacher, but you. And by the way, the preacher's included with this. There needs to be a sweet communion with our Lord. Here's what it says of Moses. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. That's what I'm talking about. Then God just communes with you. Then God just speaks to you like He would a friend. You know why? Because you are His friend. And we commune back with Him, that sweet communion that talks about fellowship, that talks about going into a closet somewhere or finding some quiet place, some alone place, some deserted place, just you and Him. And spending time with Him, shutting out the world, closing out everybody and everything, just you and Him in sweet communion. How long has it been since you did that? How often do you do that? He says, if you want to know what I want from you, that's one thing. After you're converted, I want you to have communion with me. I want you to spend time with me every day, just you and me, nothing else, no one else, just communion. That means fellowship, talking with Him, communing with Him. We're in that time of fellowship, that time when we're quiet and we listen, that time when we talk to Him and say what's on our heart. I'm talking about the fellowship, but I'm also talking about following. Because I can't stay in a closet all day. I can't stay on my knees all day long. I got to get up and do something, and so do you. You got to go to work. You got to go to the store. You got to mow the yard. You got to wash the dishes. We have a life to live in this life we're living. But the communion I'm talking about is not just been our time in the closet with Him, but it's a daily following Him, walking with Him as we walk through this world. He said, yoke up with me and learn of me. As you're walking through this world, learn of me. That's what I'm talking about. A sweet communion that goes outside of the closet, outside of the prayer chamber, walking with Him, knowing He's with you every second of the day, communing with Him all the time. Could I remind you of my make-believe friend I named Ralph when I was little? I've told you before, but I played with Ralph, and he was my hero. And boy, I would talk to Ralph, and we'd play army, and we'd play soldier, and we'd play everything. And boy, we'd be out in the woods playing, and I'd say, Ralph, let's climb this tree. And Ralph, oh, no, I got shot. Ralph, help me, Ralph. And I would talk to Ralph like he was really there.
I mean, honestly, he was, in my mind, I could see Ralph. And Ralph was with me everywhere I went. But Ralph wasn't really there. But the Lord is. And we need to be so close to Him. We need to commune with Him in such a way to where whatever you're going through, the first thing you do is talk to Him about it. Speak to Him about it. If something good happens, thank Him. He's right there. If something bad happens, call on Him. He's right there. I'm talking about, what does He want from ordinary people? What does He want from you? The preacher's not the only one that should pray in the closet. And the preacher's not the only one that should walk in communion. You also should. He expects it from every believer. He expects it from every child. This thing of fellowship, of walking with Him and letting Him walk with us as we go through our daily routine, wherever you might be. It's fellowship and it's following and it's also faith. Because there's sometimes I don't feel Him. And there's sometimes I know He's there, but I sure don't sense Him. And there's sometimes it seems like He's hidden Himself. And there's times I talk to Him, but I don't know in my mind and my emotions if He's anywhere around. But by faith, we have to know He is here. I may not feel Him. I may not sense Him. I may not be bubbling up inside, but I know my God is with me because He walks with me and I'm hooked up with Him. Sweet communion. Now, let me say something. The sweet communion that I'm talking about between the believer and the Lord is something that is natural. I mean by that, it ought to be something that comes as natural as breathing. It ought to be something that comes as natural as eating or drinking. We ought to have a desire. The psalmist said, "My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God." I'm thirsty for Him. I've got to have Him. I've got to know Him better. Psalm 63, verse 1, "Oh God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee, my flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is." He said, "Oh God, I thirst for You. I hunger for You. I must have You." That's what I'm talking about. That sweet communion, that desire, that thirst, that hunger for Him, that's a natural thing. Now, I was talking with Mr. Ted this morning. And we were talking about how much he ate for supper last night. He's the one that brought it up. I didn't bring it up. And he said, "I woke up this morning, I wasn't even hungry." And I thought, well, I ate a pretty good bit for supper, but I woke up hungry again. And you know what? I got hungry around lunchtime. You know what? I'm looking forward to having a snack before I go to bed. I'm about as natural or normal or abnormal, however you want to look at it, as far as appetite as anybody here. But I know this, if we're healthy and if everything's okay, we get hungry. There's an appetite, there's a desire, there's a need for food. And God said, "I want you to be that hungry for Me." And He says, by the way, since we're talking about it, it's a natural thing. It is as natural for the Christian to long for His fellowship as it is for a person to get hungry for food. Or thirsty for water. It's a natural thing. And if we do not have that desire, it shows that there's a problem. When you get sick, sometimes you lose your appetite. Food doesn't look good, doesn't smell good. You don't want it. Try to make yourself eat, and you get sick. You just don't desire it. Something's wrong inside that's caused you to lose your appetite. And if we lack the appetite of communion with Him and longing to spend time with Him and know Him better, we somehow have a problem inside, for it's a natural thing. This desire for sweet communion is natural. It comes naturally for the Christian. It's not only natural, But I got to say this, I probably won't spend time on it much, but it's nice. I promise you. I believe this is true. The best time I've ever had on earth, and that's a pretty big statement. Did you hear what I said? The best time I've ever had in my life is when it was just me and him. And he'd show up and reveal himself. Do you understand that? Can you identify with that at all? Some of you don't act like you do. I don't know if you do or not. Some of you ain't getting it or ain't listening or ain't had it. I don't know which. I feel sorry for you all anyway with any one of those. I want to tell you, if you've never had an experience with the Lord, just you and him, I've been going home finding out what's wrong. I'm telling you. Are you listening to me? I'm telling you, the best time I believe I'm saying this true, I am to best my knowledge. Best time I've ever had on earth is just me and him. When he'd show up and bless my heart. Or I may be in a church somewhere. I may be in a service somewhere and he'd just come by, pat me on the head and show me just one more time that he loved me and that he was there with me. I want to tell you what that is. That's just plumb nice. I don't know of a better word to use. That's nice. That's good. I like it. You know what? So does he. He wants to commune with you. He wants to be close to you. He's not a God way up in heaven shouting down commands. He's a God who lives in your heart that wants to walk with you, that wants to yoke up with you, and he wants a sweet communion with you. He wants to bless you. He wants to help you. He wants to show how much he loves you. He wants that communication more than us. We need it. He wants it. And we ought to want him. It's something that's natural. It's normal to be hungry. It's normal for a Christian to desire his presence. It's not only natural, but it's nice. It's good when you talk with him. When he settles a storm in your heart and mind. When he just comes by and hugs you real good and just blesses you half to death. I don't know anything better than that. This thing of sweet communion is natural. This thing of sweet communion is nice. This thing of sweet communion is needed. I need it. And so do you. I need it means I really can't do without it. Now I can struggle through. I can survive another day. And really be honest, I can trust his strength and his help and get me through another day without this kind of communion, but I don't want to. And I'll tell you one thing, it won't take many days like that. I'm begging for him to show up. I'm begging for him to reveal himself. I'm begging for that awareness of his companionship again. It's not only natural and nice, it's needed. It's needed to refresh us. We're living in troublesome days. We're living in wearisome days. We're living in difficult days. And the days we're living in and the circumstances we face will wear us down, dry us out. We need that communion. Oh, I'm saying again, not just the closet, that's a part of it. Not just a time in prayer, that's a big part of it. But daily, as you're walking through your life, as you're going through tomorrow, that communion. You need it. You need it, and so do I. What does God expect out of ordinary folks? He expects a sweet communion. He wants to be close to his children. They need it. I need it. You need it to refresh us. And he sure can. Sometimes that'll happen riding down the road. Sometimes that'll happen in the prayer closet. Sometimes that'll happen right in the middle of a trouble. But he refreshes you. It is needed. It's something to refresh. It's something to receive. He gives us what we need. You know, that's what prayer is about. Now, I said to begin with, and I do not change my opinion, what I'm talking about tonight is so much more than just me asking and receiving. And I'll say it again, unless you missed it the first time or already forgot, if that's the only thing you do as far as communicating with your Lord, you need to change your habits quickly. Because this communion is a whole lot more than asking and receiving, but it is. Listen, it is asking and receiving. He's the one that designed it. The same one who made the plan of salvation, made the plan where His people get help from Him, and He called it prayer. Asking from Him, receiving from Him. We need that. I need it for me. I have begged God for help since I've been here this evening because I know I need help from Him. I need it desperately, and I need help that only He can provide. The help I need can only come from Him. The help you need can only come from Him. But here's my point. It is there. He is available, but we must ask. He did say through the Bible, you have not because you ask not. He said there's some things you don't have for one reason. You need it, you don't have it, you could have it, and you don't because you didn't ask. He wants ordinary folks, you, to commune with Him. And part of that communion is asking to Him for what you need. It's something that's needed. It's something that's necessary. It's something that we cannot get by without. James 5:16 says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It does a lot. It does good. It does what I need. Now, I'll just tell you, I don't shop. I buy. I know what I want, I go get it. I walk out the store of what I want. Now, sometimes I buy more than I need, and I go to Walmart or the grocery store to get some milk, and I spend $50 on stuff we need. But I promise you, I go and I find what I want, and I leave. Now, you ladies, you shop. You and Brian, y'all shop. You look for stuff and ponder stuff, look around, go back and look at it again and touch everything in the store twice and may not buy a thing. That would drive me buggy. In fact, if you doubt that, ask Stephanie. On our family night, it drives me buggy to walk around Walmart 10 times looking at nothing. The same thing we saw last Friday night. And she expects me to enjoy it. And she knows I don't. But I stumble through it anyway. Now, I may complain a little bit, but I stumble through it anyway. I say it again, I don't shop. I go and get what I want and go home. I'd a lot rather be at home with what I wanted. And I believe the Lord wants us to come with Him in this regard with something on our mind, a need we have, and say, Lord, please, I need it. Grant this, give this, provide this. I need it. It's not selfish. I need it myself. I'm praying for myself. I'm facing a problem I can't handle. I need help. I have a question that I don't have the answer to. I need help from You. I'm battling something that I can't see the end of. I need help along the way. Prayer means, communion means, part of it means asking and receiving, getting help from Him. I need that, but you need that. It means asking and receiving. It's needed is what I'm saying. We need it for ourselves, asking for ourselves for things. Hey, I want to say this. We need it for others. There's people at home tonight sick. Somebody needs to pray for them. We need to have a communion with our Father and ask Him to touch them. The triangle of prayer, I touch Him for their behalf. We need to pray for others. There's people you know who are lost. Bombard heaven. I'm talking about He wants us to have sweet communion with Him. And there's a lot more involved with this than just asking and receiving. But a big part of it at least, is asking and receiving. Father, that person's lost. I know the only hope is for You. But I know Your Son died for them. And I know it's Your will. I know I'm asking in Your will. I'm asking You, Lord, right now, wherever they're at. I don't know where they're at even, but You know. And You know what it's going to take to touch their heart. Lord, I'm asking right now, wherever they're at, convict them, draw them. May they sense Your presence. Make them miserable in their sin. Pray to Him on their behalf. That's what I'm talking about. He wants that for all of us, to pray for others. There's people who are saved but backslidden. Somebody needs to pray for them. There's people in church every service that are going through troubles. There's people in church every service who are sick. There's people in church every service who are being attacked. There's people who lack joy. There's people who are grouchy. There's people who are cold. There's people who are apathetic. There's people who are satisfied. There's people who have bad habits. I could go on and on and on and on. There's somebody we need to pray for. And He said, come on, ask me for it. Pray for them. I can't help but realize that He says also, you may have to ask more than once. It may take a little while. You may need to be patient. You may need to be like the person knocking on the friend's door and say, I have a friend that's visiting me. I need some food. And they wouldn't answer to begin with, but they kept on knocking. That may be what we need to do. Keep on bombarding heaven until He answers. Don't give up if He doesn't answer soon. Don't give up if He doesn't answer the first time. Oh, this thing is needed. We miss so much by missing this part. Prayer revives us. Prayer reveals to us our need. Prayer stirs us. Prayer rekindles our desire. I think about the people of Israel. Do you know what God said? Here's what He said. I have heard the cry of My people. They'd been praying in that bondage of Egypt. And the day came that God heard. What about Paul and Silas in prison? The Bible says at midnight they sang and praised. And I'm sure they prayed. And boy, God let them out. Look through the Bible and find time after time after time where God intervened because of some saint somewhere, some church somewhere praying to God. Every day of our life, all day long, we need to have the attitude of communion, sweet communion with Him. Do you know somebody you really like being with? It'll be like that and more with Him. Just a sweet communion where I'm in touch with Him all day long. And then there's those special times where I cut out time just for Him. And I get in a prayer closet and I shut everything out. And I'm not in any hurry and I don't have a lot of things bombarding me, at least after a little while. You know, there'll be an attack. The devil will give you about 50,000 things to think about. Calm yourself. Go to Him and say, Lord, this is Your time. I want to say some things to You, but I'm here to listen also. And just start worshiping Him. Don't just start throwing out the needs and making the requests. Quiet yourself. Calm yourself. Focus and see, I am in heaven right now. I have just entered into the throne room of God. And the God that created the universe, I'm standing before Him, and He is attentive. I have His full attention. He is not distracted. He is listening to me. I have a complete communion with Him. quiet yourself, calm yourself, worship and look at him and see him, and then just start talking. Start listening. Commune with him. Let it be a sweet time. There'll be times you have to pour your heart out. There'll be times you're so burdened you'll weep through the time. There'll be times you feel like shouting. I hope you do. There'll be times that are good. There'll be times that are bad. There'll be times you struggle through and you go out the door and you feel like you haven't accomplished one thing. Next day, go do the same thing. You don't know what's happened when you don't realize what's happened. I mean by that, sometimes we don't feel it. A lot of times, the times we get the most done with the Lord are the times we don't feel a thing. Because by faith, we're communicating. Now, I'll tell you something. It'll make a difference. The psalmist said it like this. In fact, more than the psalmist, God said it like this. Be still and know that I am God. Quiet yourself. Stop yourself. And focus on him. And you'll see him. And you'll know who he is. What does he want from ordinary folks? What does he want not just from the pulpit but from the pew? Not just from the preacher but for the people? What does he want for you? He wants supernatural conversion, but he wants a sweet communion. He wants a close walk with you all day long, every day. Let's stand together.